I want to turn to, let's go to Psalm 34 for a moment. Psalm 34:10. I'm going to just exhort over a small moment here about the offering. How many know that we're already rich? Yeah. You already have enough. Jesus was more than enough. He provides everything, all of our need, right? According to His riches and glory. But Psalm 34:10 said, "The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want or lack any good thing." The young lions do lack. What are the young lions? What would be the young lions? I was meditating on this verse. I would say that's the young men. Those that you see that are strong, they get after it. You know, they're working hard, right? The young lions may lack and suffer hunger. That's the cubs, you know, of the lioness. Even though they may be strong and they're growing, the young lions may lack. But they that seek the Lord, hallelujah, shall not lack or want any good thing. We don't have to want. If it's a good thing, God doesn't want you to want. He said, "Ask of me." He said, "You have not because we ask not." But if we ask, we don't want to ask amiss. We spend it on our own lust. It's not just for our own self. But He said, if there's something that you need, we can ask Him. I taught this to one lady. She'd never heard that before. I ministered at a little church, and so the young lions like said, "From those that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing." And she didn't know she could ask God for stuff, you know. And she began to ask God. She didn't have a job. God provided her a little babysitting job that week. And she was so excited. She said, "I've brought some money to give to God." And she was so excited. How many know when we get something from God and He blesses us, we love Him so much. Because we love Him, we give back to Him. And why are we given here? So that the lights can stay on, so that the gospel can go forth, so that we can reach this city for Jesus. We have a place to come and meet and to pray and to seek heaven. Amen. And we are going to see God move right here. Hallelujah. So it's not that we're in the Bless Me Club, but God doesn't mind you having some money. He's not afraid for you being rich. He just doesn't want you to be covetous. He doesn't want us to be coveting those things and spending our life trying to gather money. Because money is a very poor God. It's a terrible God. It's a slave driver. People have made lots of money and it's destroyed them. You know why? There's some sins you can't do because you don't have enough money. You know, but if somebody's a sinner and they get enough money, they can do some of those things. We see that in some of our, you know, some things around the world, different things that they show about people that have become rich and where they are and where they go. Everybody says, "Oh, they seem like such a nice person." And they do. But the Bible says the heart is wicked above all until we know Christ. Amen. Until we know Him, the heart is wicked. It comes up with evil, you know, imaginations, and, you know, becomes deceitful and takes them down the path that the devil wants to keep them from coming to know God, number one. And then if they do know God, he wants to try to keep us neutralized so that we're not effective for the kingdom. But we know that he that seeks the Lord shall not lack any good thing. We don't lack for ability. We don't lack for strength. We don't lack for food. We don't lack for clothing. We don't lack for anything. Because our God is faithful. He that seeks the Lord. And you are here this morning because you're seekers of the Lord. Amen. You're not here for your own pleasure, I'm sure, this morning. I know you were out kind of late last night, so. We're not here for just for ourselves. We're here to learn and to find out. See, when we come to church, we gain strength from one another. when we begin to worship God, His presence. We sang that one song. What do we gain from His presence? We gain that strength. We gain that comfort. We gain that supernatural strength that comes from the inside, from that spirit man that's been born again. Hallelujah. And right now we need that strength. I do have a message this morning. I've been kind of nervous about sharing it because part of it is really something that God just led me to read. Not all of it, but part of it. I've been praying about it. But today's message, I want to turn to Ephesians 6 first and read verses 10 through 13. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 13. And it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." And here's our famous verse that we've been meditating on for a while. If you've listened to some of the messages from Brother Hagin that we were listening to, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching unto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." And today I'm going to title this message, "Where Are We?" And I haven't really said much about where we are. And I'm talking about not just here, but in the body of Christ at large and what's going on. Because I think we really need to remember something. Because it's real easy to get over into the flesh right now. Because we are in a spiritual war. 2020 is a year of spiritual warfare. And it's going to continue on, But we have a way that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. Because the devil is not happy. And yes, he uses people, but they're not the problem. See, he's behind the scenes stirring everybody up. He's stirring people's emotions. He's brought this pandemic upon the land, the nation, and the world. You say, well, how was he able to do that? Well, number one, the church at large, much of it has gone to sleep. They're sleeping at the wheel. In 2006, there began some things to enter into the body of Christ. To begin to water her down. Suddenly you begin to hear some things. You don't have to repent anymore. All your sins are already forgiven. Now if that's true, why did Jesus come to the earth then? What's the whole point? If you don't have to repent, why do we have Jesus? Because He is the standard. And He has said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is near. It's right here. See, He's coming soon. Now that continues on and you see some other things. I mean, people saying things like 1 John was not written to the Christian. Well, that's an impossibility because all the books of the Bible, all of the New Testament especially, was written to all the Christians. It was sent out to them. And I don't know about you, if you've ever read 1 John in the first chapter, If you'll underline the word fellowship, you'll see that it's there four times within 10 verses. And I know no unsaved people that have any fellowship with God at all. And some Christians have only a little bit. But they're working on it. They have a relationship with Him of some kind. But they have there's no fellowship with a non-Christian. So these things begin to enter into the body of Christ to try to lull us as a whole to sleep. You say, well, you know, I mean, all of us can see things in our life. I mean, I'm guilty, not maybe publicly, but privately. You know, maybe I've said a few things to my wife or to others. I said, Lord, I forgive me, you know, about some things that go on, and we want to blame this person or that person. But I've got news for you. There's good news in the house today. We've got a master that said, no way. You see, when they were in the Old Testament, they were asking the Lord. They said, Lord, God wanted to be their God. He wanted them to have a theocracy and let God be God over their land. But they continue to press God. Say, no, we want a king like the rest of the people. Oh, Lord, give us a king. Please give us a king, Lord. It was not God's will. It was not His plan. He didn't want them to have a king. It wasn't His best. But you know, if you continue to persist, God will give you what you want. You may not want it once you got it, but He'll give it to you. There's some things that we need to realize. Yes, you can have it, or you could even do it, but there's consequences to it. Because of some of the things that the body of Christ at whole has given into, God has allowed the enemy to come. And He's driven us out of the church. Completely shut the world down. In my lifetime, I've never seen the whole world shut down. Go home and stay home. I don't believe God's angry. But God allowed that we might see and wake up. So that people's hearts may begin to cry out to God. I'm telling you, this is His purpose. You said, well, you know, he let the devil do it. Yeah, He did. He could have stopped it. He could have, but He didn't want to. You know why? He loves man. He's given us a chance. It's the mercy of God. It's the mercy of God. We have people right now. See, God was knocking on the door of people's hearts saying, let me come in. I want fellowship with You. Oh, that's okay. I'll just do my own thing and have it my way. Let's have a drive-through church. You know, just come on in and, you know, just, I heard some people having drive-through church almost, you know, or, you know, where you stop in, it'll just be an hour. I promise you, we're going to get you out in an hour. Have a few songs. God, we love you. All right, let's go. Let's go do our thing. And God wants our will and our life submitted to Him. See, we love the scripture. Oh, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. But we forgot the first part, the scripture right before that. Submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And the reason that this pandemic is having its way is because the church has not submitted to God as a whole. I'm not talking about everybody. I may not even talk about you. But there's areas in everybody that if we'll really look and ask the Lord to show us, Lord, where am I not really following You in Your fullness? Am I really submitting to Your plan, or am I just doing my own thing? Am I making my own choice and asking You to bless it? You can smile now. But it is serious. We're in a very serious time. And Jesus is going to come back. Ready or not, He's going to come. But He's not coming without a bride. I'm telling you. That is pure and clean. He said it's going to happen. I'm telling you. We are responsible to help in that. There's one thing that the church, we have to realize. God will do whatever you ask of Him, but we've got to see that it's His purpose and His plan. What He wants exactly. Not what we want. Now, I'm not saying He won't work with you. He may tell you, oh, if you want to do it that way, that's fine. As long as the same result comes about. Amen? You see, He's looking for those things and He works with us. He wants your input. Sure. You see, when we blatantly disobey the Word of God, we know certain things, and we let them happen anyway. Or we invoke them in our life. You know, the Bible says bad company corrupts good morals. Did you know that? Hang out with bad people? Everybody thinks, well, I'm going to get them to be good. And you may, and I'm not saying it's wrong that we don't have relationship with them. You know, and talk with people. We're trying to win them to Christ and bring them to the Lord. But we have to be careful not that we stay strong and we don't become like that individual. Mm-hmm. See, I know some people, they thought they would win some boys to the Lord. Oh, I'm trying to win them to the Lord. I'm having a beer with them and just talking with them. And they did not respect them and would not listen. They would not listen. They ruined their own testimony. They had no influence in our life when they could have been a father to the fatherless. They could have been a testimony for Christ. You see, we don't think sometimes somebody is watching. God's always watching. We know that. But people are too. They look at your life. Really? Yes, really. They know what you're doing. They see you. And we influence people, whether it's good or bad. So we want to see that this is a time of war. This is a time when we are fighting, and I know in this church we are. We're standing in prayer and in truth and saying, no! Devil, you can't come to our city. You can't have this land. And it's working. God's moving. You know, I am so sorry that people have died. It grieves my heart. We should be more grieved in our heart. When we have the heart of God, we're talking life and death. People are dying. Even if it's one, you know, it's really, sometimes it doesn't hit home until it's your family member. Until it affects us. But there's been a virus. There was a virus released in the earth. They're having some pretty bad problems in certain areas of the world. I know Christine was talking about Peru. A friend of mine, and I know her. And when I went to Peru, she actually showed up for a couple days. Praise the Lord. Really nice lady. She'd been going there for a long time. She was talking about in Iquitos along the Amazon River. They were losing, somebody was dying in that city every single day for a while. See, we're blessed, folks. We've got medications and things available that they can do. Some of these people, if plagues come in, it's not so easy. You got Jesus or nothing. They're going to have to believe God. And we should, and we need to. And we know that God protects us. But we also want to remember that we don't tempt the Lord. You know, when there's certain precautions that they want us to take, go ahead and take them. It's all right. You know, I remember Brother Hagin saying, you know, he, you know, stayed well all his life. But one night he'd been preaching. He's kind of hot and sweaty. It's cool outside. And his wife says, oh, you might want to put your jacket on. You know, it's kind of cool out. Oh, I'll be all right. Walked out in the cool night air and woke up with a cough and losing your voice. And, you know, why? It wasn't because of the devil. He just, you know, disobeyed common sense, you know, and some of the rules that are in the world. And sometimes we need to obey those. We have people that are in authority, okay? And God works with authority. You think, well, they're just there. The Bible says God sets men in authority. Takes one down, sets another up. Yeah, but we voted. Yes, I know. But God uses whoever we voted for. I'm not saying it was His perfect will, but some people that have been voted in at different times, you know, and even here, I'm sure, in Canada, there's always good and bad. But we have to trust God because we have authority. I'm going to show you that here in just a minute. We have good authority. So I want to read something real quickly. This is just a little prophecy that says the reason for all of this evil and the answer. In 2006, the false doctrine of effortless Christianity was introduced into the church. By 2008, major international churches and ministries embraced this unbiblical theology and highly promoted it. Some called it seeker-friendly. I call it devil-friendly and spoke out that it was wrong. Even though I was mocked and ostracized for speaking out, I walked in love and still do. Others that spoke out were treated the same way. Now we have the results of what this false doctrine produces. A powerless church that has no authority over Satan. Look around. The devil is winning against the deceived church. I'm not saying that the devil is winning against every Christian, but most of the church is powerless over the devil. Repenting and turning to the Lord will bring restoration. Is there hope? Yes. The Lord Jesus will bring forth a remnant from the ashes of despair, and His glory will be revealed to the nations. So we're just saying this is a time. If we look over, let's go to Acts chapter 12. Everybody says, well, what is our part? What is our place? What kind of spiritual warfare are we in? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Remember that. And I think that needs to be reminded to the body of Christ. Because I hear and see people saying all kinds of things. Not just in, you know, so much here in Canada, but in the U.S. and other countries. You know, oh, so-and-so, you know, they're getting to start talking like so-and-so is the Antichrist. We're going to get this and we're going to get that. And they're going to make a vaccine and they're going to chip you and me and this and that. And all this nonsense. The devil is not more powerful than God Almighty. Jesus is still Lord and we still have authority. See, the church just needs to wake up and realize. Jesus said, all power is given unto you and heaven and earth is given to me. And I say to you, you now therefore go and you stand and you fight. And you wrestle. You know, effortless Christianity doesn't wrestle because it doesn't care about what's happening in their life. They just say, well, I'm just going to do what I feel like doing, what I think I should do. And yeah, I'm living a good life. I'm not doing anything terrible. But my life is not really sold out to God either. It's called lukewarm. And he said something to the lukewarm. Amen. We'll get there in just a minute. Well, let's go there first, actually. Sorry. We'll get back to Acts 12 in a minute. But let's go to Revelations chapter 3. Well, let's start at 15. Revelations 3:15. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Spew there, if you look it up, it's actually, we could say vomit. That sounds little worse, huh? You know, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And you do not know that you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire. That thou mayest be rich and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness do not appear, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and repent. Behold, he said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh, I'll grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now he's talking here, of course, as we see, those that are lukewarm. He's saying, I stand at that door, and I'm knocking. I'm saying, come on, let me in. You know, and I'm not saying all of us, but I know there's areas that, you know, sometimes in my life, we get a little lukewarm or not really pursuing it like we should. Now, we've only got, how many pillars we got here? I mean, as far as growing and growth in the Lord, there's only, you know, we've only got like four, right? The Word of God. Of course, under the Word of God, we've got speaking the Word of God out loud, right? Confession. Well, why do we have confession? What does confession do for you? Is it changing God? He said, don't just keep saying, don't be like the heathen, you know, who just keep with many words or talking to me. Don't be like them. No, we're changing. It's part of meditation. You know, there's meditation, there's confession, you know, we're thinking about it, but we're also saying it with our mouth. Why do you say it with your mouth? Because I have what I say. I'm releasing faith in what I'm saying. I'm saying, okay, sometimes you're saying it to believe. You know, you're not convincing God of anything. He already believes His Word. The Bible says even the devils believe and they shudder. They're afraid of Him. But we have to come to that place where it becomes a part in us. And that Word of God becomes so real on the inside of us. Surely He hath borne my sicknesses, carried my pains, and by His stripes I was healed. I might say, surely He, who's He? He's my God. He has borne my sicknesses, carried my pain, by His stripes I'm healed. Surely He has. And I may go through each word, and just give a little emphasis there and do that for a while. Why? Because it's part of meditation. I'm saying it over. We believe what we say more than we do anybody else. And when that becomes a stronghold on the inside of you, you take it to a place called done. Because the faith has risen up. You say, oh Lord, I thank you. It's done. Hallelujah. And you step over that line in faith. And you say, Lord, this is my verse. Now, Lord, I know you're performing it in my life. You say, well, how long do I stand until it happens? Amen. We stand until. Now, Lord, you said if we'd ask you for this city, you'd give it to us. How long are you going to stand? 10,000 years. That's just where we set our stake, Lord. 10,000 years if necessary. But it's not going to be. Because He's faithful. And He looks over. He is looking over. You know, He's taken and His Word's not returned void. That's what I'm trying to think of. When we speak it doesn't return void. See, God loves to hear your voice. He loves it when you get up in the morning. Oh, Lord, I thank you. This is the day that you've made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. I'm not going to listen to what they're telling me on the news. I'm going to shut it off because I've got a different idea because I know who's behind it. I know the enemy, the strongholds that are there. And I'm going to prepare and I'm going to go to war. Not just in my own mind, but in this kingdom of God of ours. And we are. We're going to war in prayer. But the enemy, he wants to neutralize. He wants to bring us to that place where we lulled to sleep, where we're lukewarm. You see, we may not be totally. You know, what's the difference if you're not saved, or are you just ineffective in the kingdom? You know, maybe you're going to heaven, but, you know, you're not really making a difference. What's the point? It's good to go to heaven. But when we're here, we have a chance to make a difference. We can work with the Father in the kingdom. We can take our authority that He has given us. We can stand in that authority. And we can allow that authority that He said, when I say, Mr. Devil, you have to go, you will go. But you see, if our heart is not with the Lord, if we're not under His purposes and His plans and what He has us to do, and we're outside the Word of God, or we're living our life how we just want, and we're not really submitting to the Lord. James 4, 8, 7 and 8. Let's go to James and just read that. James is right after Hebrews. If that helps anybody. James chapter 4. Let's see here. Verse 7. Well, let's go to verse 6. It says, But He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, or near to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. It says, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Did you notice something? There was humble on both sides of that. Both sides of that, drawing near to God and resisting the devil. There was a word that said, humble yourselves. He gives more grace to the humble. Well, how do we humble ourselves? Lord, not my will, but Your will be done. Or maybe it's, Lord, I've made a total mess. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to start, Lord. I need You. I can't do anything without You, Lord. And then when we begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, we are surrendering our will to the Father. We're actually praying out His divine purpose over our life. The more we pray, the more of His purpose begins to be prayed out. And His purpose is good and pleasing and perfect. See, God's will is perfect, good, and pleasing. Everybody says, well, I don't know. I mean, I'm scared to almost ask Him because He might send me to deep, dark Africa. And He might. But you'll love it. Because He works in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. His heart becomes a part of us. And we become a part with Him. When we dwell, He said, draw near. I'm going to draw near to you. If we're not drawing near, we're not going to hear. If we don't hear, we won't know. But when we draw near, we'll begin to hear, we'll begin to know. Father, I thank You. This is the way. He said, there's a voice of the Lord behind you saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. He said, let the peace of God to govern our heart and to direct our life. Now, there's some things that'll give us peace. But it's not the peace of God. See, sometimes we get into things and we're saying, well, you know, I got a peace about it, you know. But we're really lying to ourselves because deep down something's scratching us and it's not quite right. See, we're, you know, or we read in the Bible what the Bible says. See, we've got the Word of God. And if we deliberately go against what the Word of God said, we're in disobedience. Said, yeah, but I don't feel like I am. Doesn't matter how we feel. God's still right. He said, the love of the world is an enemy of God. Yeah, but I just love to do this. I love scuba diving. That's where I go every Sunday. I go to the beach and I get under the water and I just have the greatest time. It's awesome to me. I love it. You may be a great scuba diver. That's wonderful. Sometimes I even ask my friend if I could get in this pool and I just suck up a whole tank of air. It's just awesome. Now, I know I'm kind of making fun. I'm not really, but, you know, maybe that's your thing. See, it's a good thing. Could be. The Bible says all things, what? In moderation. He gave us all things to enjoy. It's not that we can't enjoy those things. But when they take the place of us drawing near to God. See? Oh, yeah, I have to be gone every weekend, won't I, when I buy that boat. Yeah, I really wanted one. But you know, I got to make use of it. What's the point in having it if I can't use it? You know, so I'm out. Oh, it's already late. We'll just stay for Sunday and get on the lake again tomorrow. Do a little more skiing, do a little more fishing. Or you know what we could do? We'll go to that seeker-friendly church where they just have, it'll just be an hour and then we'll head out to the lake. They got an early service. They got services all day long, so they could just, you know, whenever we want to, we could just stop in and then head out and do our own thing. Give God His tip. Acknowledge. Yes, Lord, thank you. You know, yes, I know you're good. I know you're God. I'm out of here to do my own thing. Or maybe we go to church and we really like it, but then, you know, maybe it's not Sunday, but maybe it's the rest of the week. We said, oh, Lord, it's morning. Instead of saying, good morning, Lord. Amen. Not, oh, Lord, it's morning. Thank you, Lord. This is the day that you have made. Remember, they talked about Smith Wigglesworth. Every morning. He said, every morning. He'd get excited before the Lord. Not because he felt like it, but because he chose to make the joy of the Lord his strength. And he would just begin to dance. He said, I would just dance. You know, everything doesn't have to be an hour, you know, or 2 hours. If you took 10 minutes, said, Lord, I love you. Hallelujah. I trust you today, Lord. You give me favor with everybody I come in contact. You give me divine appointments, Lord. You made this day. I rejoice. Hallelujah. I have victory because you live in me. And I'm not going to be defeated today because the greater one lives on the inside of me. Hallelujah. And you do it on purpose. And they'd say a Smith Wigglesworth, sometimes he'd preach. He'd just start out and flabbering all over and boom, the Holy Ghost would hit him, see. And he'd preach until the glory of God fell. They'd get in line and be healed. Continue to move, continue to press. Until we see all that God has for us. Hallelujah. Okay. Secondly, Acts chapter 12, we'll go there. The second thing, the 2020, is also, Lord said this could be a year of distractions. See, all the things we see around us can distract us. I mean, there's a lot happening. Yeah, this is Corona. Then you hear about this and that over here. And such over there. Oh, who's doing this? And wear a mask. Don't wear a mask. Wear your gloves. Don't wear your gloves. You know, although we should be careful. Keep your distance. Oh, it'll be all right. And we need to trust God. We submit to Him. We know that He's going to keep us. We need to know that the greater one lives in, and we've got the anointing of the Holy Ghost on the inside of us to lead us and guide us. You know, if he tells you to take a nap, take a nap. What? Brother Doug, why would he tell me to take a nap? I don't know. Maybe you're extra tired and you need to take a nap because your immune system needs to be boosted a little. Maybe you were up too late last night and you need to get a little nap in. They're all laughing because we were up late last night, right? Hallelujah. But it's something we have to think about. Acts chapter 12 here, they were praying. Well, let's just start the first verse. Acts 12. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. And then there were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, Peter, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squadrons of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers and bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. Now, some people say, well, how come James wasn't delivered? Well, I don't see that the church was praying continually just yet. You see, sometimes our standing and our prayers and our intercession is life and death. I'm not saying maybe he would have been killed anyway. Maybe. But Peter was set free. Because prayer was made not occasionally, just continually. They're constantly praying without ceasing. The church of God for him. They're just praying for him. Praying that God would intervene in a situation where the government got upset with them and said, "Now you stop preaching in that name." He's upset with them. And there are some people in certain governments that are upset with the church right now. And they think they're doing it. See, but it's the enemy behind them. See, it was the enemy behind that king, Herod. And because of their prayers, some things happened. And we think, well, what are your prayers going to do? I hope it doesn't come to this. But it could. Let's just go to the verse 12. Says, and when he had considered the thing, okay, Peter's released. Let's go ahead and keep reading. Okay, sorry. Verse 7. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said to him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he said unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel. But he thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, that means he was in the inner prison. He'd come out a couple of, areas through the prison. First and second ward, they came under the iron gate that leads unto the city, which opened unto them on its own accord. And they went out and passed through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord has set his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jews." They were expecting him to kill him, so they're getting ready to kill him. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And we know he knocks on the door. The damsel comes, Rhoda comes to the door. "Oh, it's Peter." She's so excited, she slams the door, goes back, tells him, "Peter's here." "Oh, it couldn't be Peter. He's in prison. We're praying for him." It must be his angel. It must be something else. But they go to the door and they found out, sure enough, it's Peter, right? He comes in. This is good. Verse 18 says, Now, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers that what was become of Peter. Now what happened here? And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there he abode. And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon. But they came with one accord to him. And having made Blastus, the king's chamberman, their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, "It is the voice of a God and not of a man." And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not glory to God, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. He died. I believe he died because they were continually in prayer. I hope it doesn't come to that for people. I'm saddened over people that die, especially if they don't know Jesus. But the prayers of the saints stopped the wickedness. And I'm telling you, it's not going to continue to prevail if we'll stand. We'll put on the armor of God and realize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but against the principalities and the powers of this world. And we're going to stand and we're going to pray and we're going to see change. We're going to submit our hearts unto God, draw near to Him, submit to Him, resist that devil, and he is going to flee. See, this coronavirus can be destroyed. It can be defeated by the church of the living God. We're the ones here with authority. The devil doesn't really have the authority, but he doesn't care. See, he don't play fair. He comes in illegally. But when we exercise our authority, when we submit to God, then his authority goes into effect, and our prayers change the world. They change the world about us. Yeah, we can get some personal deliverance when we do some of those things. But when we come together as a body corporately and we continue to stand and we continue to pray, "Oh God, bring the church, wake it up, help us repent, Lord. Let the church repent and turn to the true and the living God. For there's a repentance that needs to take place and a humiliation that has to come sometimes upon us." And we're standing at the doors right now. Many people are at their church door. They're knocking at the door trying to get in when God's knocking on the door of their own heart. And they said, "Oh God, we want you, but not too much. Help us, Lord. Let us pray for the church of God. Let us see revival in the church, that the world may know that Jesus is Lord and He is King. And let the glory of God be restored," I say. I decree this day, let the glory of God come. Stand and see, for the Lord is good. His mercy endureth forever. Don't look at it as a problem. Let's look at some things that are happening today as the mercy of God. And that God is saying, "Church, arise, wake up and repent. Draw near to your God. Remember the true and the living God, the one of all power, the one of all authority, the one that grants grace, that you might walk with Him and take your place. Stand up tall. Be those that will not bow, but stand therefore, knowing that the battle is the Lord's and the victory is ours." Hallelujah. Praise the living Lord. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your words of encouragement, your words of strength, Father, that you have given us and granted us the authority to stand, the authority to come unto you, Father, that we can draw near and that you'll draw near to us, that we may see and we may hear and we may know, Father. That we wouldn't get distracted with the things of the world, Father. We would remember that we don't wrestle against people, Father. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We're not to hate and to murmur and to complain about them, Father, but to stand on your word, Father, and on your truth. And Father, when we hear the things that people say, Lord, that we'll turn it off, Father, and we'll learn to pray. And we'll stand in that gap, Father, and we'll say, "No! Devil, you're not going to have your way. We rebuke you and we resist you in the name of Jesus. And Father, we'll stand and we'll continue to stand. And we'll stand because we know in whom we believe. And we are persuaded that He is able to do those things that we ask of Him. Oh, Father, we give You glory and praise today. We ask You, Lord, for grace to enter in, that we may have Your divine influence upon our heart, that You would draw us even as we draw upon You, Lord. You said You'd draw near. And that Lord, in Your drawing near, I know that You will draw us afresh and anew, that our hearts will stay strong, that, Lord, we won't let the enemy cause us to waver the things about us, Lord. Not looking to the flesh, but looking unto Your truth, unto Your word. And we thank You, Father, that this war is more than winnable. In Jesus' name, Father. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank You, Father. Oh, don't look down. No. Don't be afraid, says the Lord. Don't let fear take you over. No. Rejoice and be glad and shout for joy. Ha, ha, ha. For as you stand with me, ha, ha, the victory is sure. Oh, ha, ha. Begin to laugh and shout for joy. Oh, you see, I have all authority. I see what's happening, says the Lord. I do not fear. And you're in me. Do not fear the things that are coming upon the earth, says the Lord. But just rejoice in me. For you and I together shall secure the deliverance of many. Oh, yes. Come dwell with me. Come draw near to me. Oh, watch and see. Oh, watch and see the victory. For the victory is great. Yeah, the battle looks pretty bad at the moment sometimes, but don't be moved by what you see. Look to my word and see the victory. Glory. Woo! Woo! Hallelujah! A sense of victory in my spirit. I know it's so. Ha ha. When we trust in Him, when we trust Him, He's not going to take anything from you that He won't replace with all of Him, and it'd be so much better. It'd be so much better. Oh, yes. So much better. It's a divine exchange. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. There's a divine exchange that takes place. Our weakness for His strength begins to come in. Our weakness for His ability. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank You, Father.